Kevin Spacey's spectacular fall from grace was one of Hollywood's key Me Too moments of 2017. As soon as sexual misconduct allegations against him emerged, filming on the sixth and final season of House of Cards was suspended, you'll remember. Then Kevin Spacey, who played President Frank Underwood in the drama, was cut completely and the show went on without him. This Friday, the final season of House of Cards premieres on Netflix, with Robin Wright's Claire Underwood taking over the presidency.
This slate of yours, it will set us back a generation. They will completely
support me and what I stand for.
And what is that?
The American oligarchs out there, they are coming for us.
As a patriot who loves his country, we can do so much better.
They are trying to strip me of my constitutional power as your commander-in-chief.
Robin Wright as Claire Underwood, now the President of the United States, in the final season of House of Cards on Netflix. Michael Bodie is our regular TV reviewer. Hello, Michael.
G'day, Fran.
Does House of Cards work without the dynamic between Frank and Claire Underwood?
It does, because I think Frank's Machiavellian tendencies were just going over the top and it was getting quite absurd. I don't know if you agree, but a lot of people dropped off in the fourth and fifth series because it was becoming, you know, less Shakespearean and more, you know, French farce in some respects. It was just getting silly. So it's good to bring it back with an even keel, I suppose, taking his ballast off. And it's pretty strong. It's still got moments of absurdity, but look, there's no spoilers here because it's in the teaser, but Frank is dead, dead and buried, and by the second episode, we're into 100 days of her presidency. But it becomes clear that they say initially that he died in his sleep next to Claire in the White House. It becomes clear, as you might expect, that things weren't as they seem. But there's two interesting aspects to this series, the final series. Well, there's three. One is Robin Wright, of course, who's very charismatic. Mm. She talks to the audience.
She's very compelling, isn't she?
Yeah, she talks to the audience. She's a hard woman, and it's pretty intimidating when she talks at you through the screen. But the other thing is Doug Stamper comes back into quite a, well, he's been central throughout, but that character becomes the sort of antagonist against Claire in some respects. So their dynamic's quite strong. And they bring in two power siblings, I think, or a sibling political couple, brother and sister, played by Diane Lane and Greg Kinnear. And they're quite interesting in that Diane Lane's character is meant to be a childhood friend of Claire's, although we've never mentioned her at all in the whole series, so that's a bit odd. But they are quite strong and bring a nice dynamic, and sort of instead of the series going into the Me Too thing and women in power and the idea of the first female presidency, although they explore that, it looks as though, I'm only a few episodes in, it looks as though they're going to explore more the back rooms, the sort of Koch brother type influence on politics and on Washington, and as you heard in the clip about the oligarchs taking over control. So it looks as though it's setting it up to say the politicians don't have control of the politics.
Yeah, good one. It's all about the money. Yeah. Also this week, another movie star takes on a recurring role in TV for the first time. Julia Roberts is starring in the adaptation of the fictional drama podcast Homecoming.
Yeah.
How did Amazon get Julia Roberts to TV?
Well, it's sort of odd. Her agents delivered her the podcast, which was one of Gimlet's podcasts, where it was a star-studded experiment in some respects. It was like an old radio play, and it was quite popular. And that went to Julia, and she liked it. And then Sam Esmail, the director and creator of Mr. Robot, he won the rights. A lot of people were going for the rights to turn it into a movie or whatever. And they sort of hit it off, and suddenly Julia Roberts has her first, it's sort of astounding, has her first recurring role in TV. She's only popped up on TV a few times in just sort of one-off cameos in Murphy Brown years, this is 20 years ago.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, she played herself. So that's sort of how big she is in TV. And she's terrific. She plays a caseworker helping returned servicemen and women in America after they come home, and it's set up as a sort of amnesia thriller mystery, and it really pumps along. It's very different from House of Cards and Mr. Robot in some respects. The main difference is they're 30-minute episodes, so, and they're done in such a really, it's a bit like Bodyguard. The tension's built really nicely, and it ends, I won't spoil the ending of it, but the credit scenes of each episode are sort of really fascinating. Sam Esmail is one of the most interesting filmmakers around. He just really takes really big creative risks.
Okay.
And this one works. It's sort of at the end of each half hour, you're going, oh, I've got to know more. So it's not obvious what's going to happen in the first few episodes. So it just
drags you. No matter how big they are, they're all heading to the small screen.
Yeah, she's great.
Can you take us through the guide? What do you like?
Oh, sorry. And that's on Amazon Prime this week.
Yep.
This week, tomorrow tonight, Annabelle Crabb and Charlie Pickering do their hypotheticals for the ABC on Wednesdays at 8:30. Another thing on Netflix worth looking out for is Orson Welles' final film, The Other Side of the Wind. It's finally been reconstructed after being shot in the mid-70s. It's sort of a satire, star-studded satire. So that'll be a big thing. And it's got a documentary accompanying it on Netflix on Friday. And tonight on the ABC, a lovely documentary about Australia's lost impressionist, Sydney painter John Russell at 9:30.
Sounds great. Michael, thank you very much.
Cheers, Fran.
Michael Bodie, our regular TV reviewer, bringing you the best and the latest on TV.